We're going to do something impossible today, and I'm going to have to talk really fast, but I want to slow down for just a second and go back and touch a little bit about what we talked about, the grace of God, last week. I just had to hurry too fast, and this is like way more important than I can make it for you, but it really is. And I was going to read you some quotes. I'll read you one to start with. J.I. Packer, famed theologian and author, says, "Grace is the sum and substance of New Testament faith." In other words, you got to get it, or you're not going to really get and understand and be able to function in New Testament faith. That's how important grace is. So we're going to dive right in. I used Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, so that's where I'm going to start. Paul references, well, so many things, but listen, this has got to be through grace so it can be by faith. In other words, it can't be by the law, it can't be by works, it can't be by anything else. Your connection with the Lord has to be through grace. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. So how does stuff come from Jesus Christ? Grace and truth. You got to have those things together. So it says in the letter to Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared." Good. So he came. Was there not grace in the Old Testament? Yes, but the grace that we're talking about in the New Testament is something that comes through the person of Jesus. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, and then instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed," that means all of them, "and to purify for himself a people for his own possession." So what's the Lord doing? Well, part of what he's doing is to bring about a purification of us as people, because we're his own possession. Isn't that good? He's purifying us. Well, see, he did it, and now he's doing it. You understand what I mean? He did it as an act, and we're experiencing it as a process. So this is so good. "Well, God's purifying me. I know I'm so impure." Well, see, he only purifies stuff that's not already pure. Come on. Don't miss this. I was whining to the Lord about that one day, and he said, "Well, of course I'm purifying you. Of course you were impure. That's what I do with impure things, is to purify them." That, right? So he said, "Well, I'm impure." Well, duh. Of course you are. And he's in the process of bringing that a different way. Are you with me?
Yep.
So I have been purified. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. But in my mind, my will, my emotions, my experiential life, he is in the act of purifying how I live. And purifying, it's not like, oh, and on Thursday it'll be done. No, that's probably not true. But it ought to be showing up. You know, you get a little, gets a little cleaner every time you go through the car wash, you know. So he's purifying us. I wasn't going to say that, but this is really for someone. It's supposed to heal your conscience and help you with your identity. "I'm just this, I'm filthy rags." No, you used to be. You were. You absolutely were. And if you do it on your own, you're right. But you're not now. Oh, we need like till Thursday to do this. But he said, what's he doing? He said, "I did all this. I rescued you. I'm saving people." Why? So I can purify them, because they're my own possession. I don't feel like his own possession. In fact, I don't feel the least bit close. I'm telling you, he does. His purpose is to purify a people for his own possession. What do you do with your possessions? Well, sometimes you even insure them for more because they're worth more, right? I mean, you invest in your possession. He's no different. And what's he doing? He's investing purification in us, changing us from the inside out. But grace shows up not to give you the opportunity to go do anything you darn well want to. And that's some people say, "Oh, you're talking too much about grace." You can't talk too much about grace. But you can misspeak about it. Grace of God is, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We're going to cover this again when we get there. But he says, I am what I am. and I'm not what I used to be. You know, and the other thing is, and I'm not what I'm not. And if he says you are something, then that's what you are. And you're not anything different. You may think it, breathe it, walk it that way, but that's not the truth. Okay? So I'm going to go back here and do what I wrote down on my piece of paper to do, which is to say we have to change an announcement today. I just found this out at the break. What we were going to do after church next Sunday for the parenting group, we can't do. We have people who are having people coming to town because kids are being baptized and they need to go be with their family and not come to this dinner, so we're going to postpone that. So no potluck dinner for parenting group after church on Sunday. Got it? Okay. We'll send something out that says that too. So now I did what I was supposed to do. So what's grace supposed to do? Grace is to instruct us, it says, teach us, train us. One version says school us. To deny ungodliness and worldly desires. One version says to give up godless ways and worldly cravings, which is to say, God knows what we're like. And we're born with godless ways and worldly cravings, and we're born again to get rid of them. One version says to forego irreverent thoughts and worldly appetites. Nobody has any of those. Right? But it's to teach us, to train us. So how does that happen? Well, sometimes you have to be, he graciously confronts us of, you know, you need to get rid of that junk. Right? Or he just shows you the difference between the kingdom and the crud. And you go, you know? Or he presents the choice. There's a choice. Now you didn't even have the power to make the choice before. Now the choice is yours. You don't have to do that. You don't have to eat off of the floor anymore. You know? You know what I'm saying? And the grace just comes to be an instructor, a teacher, and it teaches these things. It doesn't say it's license to do anything. No, it's power not to have to be chained to do what you want, but to have freedom and power to do what you ought. Man, that's better, isn't it? What do heroin addicts do every day? They shoot up. Why? Because that's all they want to do. There's this craving. They have to feed it. That's what sin is like. And he's saying, I've birthed you into a kingdom where that isn't so. It's in your outline. It's Colossians 1. We have been transferred out of darkness, right? Out of the dominion, the control of the enemy, into the kingdom of his dear son. Well, now you're not under that junk anymore. So he says, grace comes to teach you, to train you. This is just so blasé. To live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Do you realize how revolutionary that is? Do you know how many people are living sensibly, righteously, and godly in this age? Do you? In some places, you can count them on Captain Hook's left hand. Everybody's swimming upstream. Everybody's off the reservation, you know? Doing crazy, weird stuff. And some of it we've made legal. I mean, some of it we've sanctified, so to speak, or at least sanctioned doing that. And the truth is, the grace comes and says, no, don't do that. Do you know how rare common sense is with people? I mean, you buy a hair dryer, electric hair dryer, and says, don't use this in the bathtub. No kidding. That's what you have to tell people that. I don't use one anywhere, but so I'm a safe person. But you know, I it worries me. Who's buying these things? That you gotta tell them don't plug that in and go in the bed. Yeah. You know what I mean? So to live sensibly, honorably, God fearing. That's what grace teaches us. So what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. I'm just reading this from the outline. It's finding favor in God's presence, which means God has an attitude of kindness towards a person and wants to bless or prosper that person. Grace is the acceptance of and goodness towards those who cannot earn and do not deserve that kind of gain. Just good. Now, I got to tell you my personal experience real quick. This is, I can't do this real quick, but I'm going to do it. Colossians chapter 1. This is many, many, many years ago, and I had an encounter with the Lord in Colossians chapter 1 that took me, and please don't misunderstand me. I probably shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to say it. It took me out of trying to be in the faith walk and put me in the grace walk. Okay? Colossians chapter 1, I'll do this quickly as I can, first six verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I love that. Paul's an apostle by the will of God. What are you? Well, I'm a plumber. You ought to be a plumber by the will of God. You know, your life is based on the will of God. And to Timothy, our brother, from Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ Jesus who are at Colossae. So he's writing to the church at Colossians, at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from the God, our God and Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I hate that. I don't always remember to pray for anybody. And here he's saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's in the Bible that he always prays for these people. Man, got a ways to go. And we've been praying for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Why? Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you've previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. So he's talking about the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, right? Now get this. He says, ever since you heard the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Amplified says it this way, since you came to know the grace of God in reality, deeply, clearly, thoroughly, becoming accurately and intimately acquainted with it. And I just told the Lord, no, that's not true. Because in my world, the gospel is not constantly bearing fruit and increasing. I know churches that are being shut down. I know ministries that are failing. I know lots of times I've prayed real hard and done lots of things, and it just didn't amount to very much. And I had lots of friends who complained about the same thing. And I said, how can you say that? Because you ever been in a meeting, an evangelistic meeting, for the purpose of people getting saved and nobody got saved? Yeah, I have. Used to do them every twice a year in the where I was. Or, you know, big tents and all that kind of stuff. And no. Now I've seen people flood to the... But he says, it's just what happened. This is what happens every time that you hear the grace of God in truth, in reality. And he showed me, he said, John, you don't know the grace of God in its reality. You know it in its theology, but not in reality. And I said, I think I'll take a step back. And I said, because when the grace of God in truth shows up, there is increase. There is multiplication. It happens. And I said, well, then what do I need to know? Of course, my background is Southern Baptist. I'm licensed and ordained Southern Baptist, as a matter of fact. They haven't ever pulled the papers, so I still got them. So my best friend's Southern Baptist. So I'm in the kingdom of God because I married the right girl and the Baptist people prayed me into the kingdom. That's the truth. But we were taught that grace was unmerited favor, and it most certainly is. But that's not all grace is. Grace is also divine adequacy, where he just shows up and does it when you can't do it. Empowers you to do things you can't do. So grace is divine adequacy. Paul says, not this is adequacy from ourselves, but it's from God. Right? And then grace is the desire and the power to do the will of God. He works within you both to will and to do for his good purpose, his good pleasure. And grace is the desire and power. Get that? Desire and power to do the will of God. I had the desire to do the will of God, but I'm telling you, the power was not present to see it happen. It wouldn't come to pass. Bits and pieces sometimes, but I'm telling you, not like what I was reading. Paul said, just like happened in Colossae. Well, there was revival there. There was a move of God there. And I'm going, And it says it happens like it always happens when you know grace in reality. When you know, and that's what that word is. So when you know the grace, in, when you know grace in truth, it's the word reality. The way I call it, the way I mean it, God is saying. You got to know the grace of God in truth. So I just, what do I do about this? You know, which means you can't rely on you. I mean, he's not relying on you. I told the Lord one day, I said, man, I don't think I'd. He says, John, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase and increase that. And I said, Lord, I'm not so sure I'd do that if I were you. Yeah, you know, I'm a little disillusioned about me. He says, well, I've never been illusioned about you. That's exactly what was in my journal. And he said, I know exactly what I'm getting when I got you. So shut up and let's go. I said, okay. So if you're going to bless me, go ahead. Because I was looking at how, I was getting like a C minus, I thought, maybe in life. You know, and that's not how, he doesn't grade that way. He doesn't. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't consequences when you mess up. But he wasn't grading me the way I was grading me. He could see me from a different point of view. So this divine adequacy, the desire and power to do the will of God, man, it's big. I put this in your outline. Grace is a new domain in which and by which Christians live. In this realm, sin no longer rules. By his grace, God affects Christians' personal lives, giving them the ability to obey the gospel from the heart and an increase of joy in trial. Wow. It's really strong. I'll give you some quotes real quick. Grace is not simply leniency when we've sinned. Grace is the enabling gift of God not to sin. Grace is power, not just pardon. Therefore, the effort we make to obey God is not an effort done in our own strength, but in the strength which God supplies. That's John Piper. Don't be troubled when you meditate on the greatness of your former sins. Don't you every once in a while think, I can't believe. But rather know that God's grace is so much greater in magnitude that it justifies the sinner and absolves the wicked. I love that. Grace is the free expression, the freeness of love. The life of grace is the death of sin. And the growth of grace is the decay of sin. The ultimate test of our spirituality is the measure of our amazement at the grace of God. You ought to be freaked out that you're forgiven. You really should. That freaked out is a Latin word. Which means, wow. Wow. So here, this little twerp falling off a turnip truck from Iowa, you know, gets rescued, plucked from the fire. And Holy Spirit gets a hold of him. And all sorts of stuff happened. And how could you? You did. We should be amazed. Amazing grace, yeah. No, we should be amazed at the fact that we're included. And then you can be amazed on the fact that God very righteously could have excluded. See, that's different. I signed some exclusions. But he had the ultimate inclusion. And I got in. Never, ever let it get past you, the grace of God that brought you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, I understand this is the beginning, but if you don't get the beginning right, you can't make the trip right. Right? And you can be amazed, if you're amazed at it, if you're taken aback by the goodness of God, then you'll be able more fully to accept the other goodnesses he has planned for you that you don't deserve either. Grace of God. My parents named me John. Now it's John Brown. You got to live with that. I have songs sung to me about little Indians and bodies molding in graves. This last week, a lady said, don't you ever get stuff about your name? I said, yes, like from you. And, you know, she laughed sort of. No, she had a great tip. That's really your name. I said, I would bring a letter from my mother, but she's not with us anymore. You know, I said, my parents had a sense of humor. Now I'm forced to have one. I'm just, you know, I do all this stuff. I get stopped at airports. People who have traveled with me don't like traveling with me. I can't get out of countries sometimes. So it's just, no, what's your real name? You know, and so, I mean, it's crazy. But you know what? It was the Lord. Because John means grace of God. That's what it means. So my name has been typified about me. And that's everything about me is the grace of God. You know, it's like he slides me under more doors than you can get under. I mean, people that wouldn't let me in, he just slides me in under the door. I got to go to a meeting one time at a hotel downtown where Coach McCartney was in town for Promise Keepers, when Promise Keepers was here. And it was a conference for African-American pastors. So I showed up at the hotel with some other brothers, and we were praying in the lobby for the meeting, just innocently praying for the lobby. And my dear friend, Dr. Briscoe, who's not with us anymore, walked into the hotel, and he said, "Why aren't you in there?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm brown, but I ain't, you know." And he looked at me, and he said, "All my life, I've wanted a son in the ministry, and today you're it." And he put his arm around me and took me into that meeting. "This is my son." And I said, "Okay." And then he wound me up and turned me loose, and I got to pour my heart out on the table for those guys. Coach McCartney and I were the only two white guys in the place. It was so cool. I mean, it was so cool. I thought, how'd I get in here? He slid me in under the door. I mean, stuff like that has happened to me all my life. Just crazy good stuff like that. You got to get this. Grace isn't just, okay, he's overlooking what I was. No, no, no. He's got powerful thoughts about who you are and who he's going to cause you to be. And part of that is what he's going to have you do. But he's sculpting and working, purifying people for his own possession. And you got to understand, grace teaches us stuff. And it teaches us not to do the crud that offends him. But it's not somebody shoving rules and regulations down your throat till you want to gag and not giving you the power to do it. There's a power button on this thing. I mean, he works within us, changing our want-tos, crafting the way that we see things, changing our perspectives so that we can make choices that bring honor to him, even when we don't know we're doing it. I mean, when I first got saved, I would come home and tell Kathy I said something to somebody. She said, "Well, that's in the Bible." I said, "No kidding." I mean, really, I didn't know. The Holy Spirit knows. Right? Right? Now, so why is this so important? Because just read the Bible. Just read it some and say, "I did. I mean, I started to, and I was going to church, and I look at all that thou shalt not stuff and all that stuff, and I literally went and driving to work one day, apologized to the Lord for getting saved. I said, 'I'm so sorry I made this commitment. I ain't going to do this stuff. I don't want to do this stuff. I like that thou shalt stuff. I want to do that stuff.' And the stuff he was saying don't do, I have a long history with. And I said, 'You know, Lord, I can be honest. I don't really think I like church that much. And I mean, Jesus, yes. I mean, I had him right. But I don't know all this other stuff. So I apologize. I know I can't follow through with this. I can't live this out. And I don't want to be a phony. So I'm just going, here, I'm signing the check. I'll give it back to you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did this. I'm going to disappoint everybody. But I just got to be real. I know what I'm like. And I could hear heaven laugh at me. I was pouring my guts out. He laughed at me. And I thought, oh, that's not very nice. I had no idea. I had no concept that he could change what I wanted to do on the inside. No concept. And it wasn't very long. I just thought, well, that didn't work. So I just thought, well, I'll stumble along a little bit. And it wasn't a few months later that I didn't even want to think about the things I used to do, let alone do them. And nobody said anything. I mean, like, there wasn't a threat of prison or anything like that. You know? It was just the presence of the Spirit of God. So it was. And pretty soon, like, I was at mile marker 3, and I woke up one day, and I was at mile marker 20. I had no idea how I got there. But I was there and I thought, okay, it looks different from here. And I wasn't Velcroed to that crud anymore. Could I still make the decision? In a heartbeat. But I didn't have the stirrings that I had before. And I'm going, oh. And not only that, I found myself liking the Bible. Whoa. And putting up with church. I mean, I wasn't disgusted. I was disgusted at first. Oh, really? You're wearing ties? And you're doing, you know, I mean. No, I cut my hair and I had longer hair than everybody, you know? But it was the grace of God working in me. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to purify this person from my own possession. Come on. Now, you didn't hear me say that I was pure and never did anything wrong. I didn't say that. But I understand there is one who is pure. And everything he touches gets some measure of purification. Right? See, if Bill is God and he's not, but he's my friend, and I touch Bill, I might catch his cold. You know? But if I'm wrong, I've got a problem with, if I'm a kleptomaniac and I've got a problem with stealing, when I touch him, if he's God, it doesn't make him more close to being a thief. It makes me more close from being free from being a thief. Right? He didn't catch my junk. He takes my junk and I get his goodness. Right? Isn't that right? So what do? Keep bumping up against him. Put yourself in the position where he is. Let the grace of God work in us. That rules and regulations didn't do that to me. And I was following rules and regulations. But it was by the Spirit. It was in my heart. I didn't know it. I just was, you know, when everything, all that bad stuff got to be hominy for me. And I hate hominy. I've told you a story a million times, but if I walk down the grocery store aisle and the can of hominy says, hey, big boy, take me home. I ain't touching hominy. I don't like it. It has nothing for me. I don't like the taste of it. I don't like the smell of it. I'm not having it. Wouldn't it be cool if Playboy got to be that way? Or dark chocolate with almonds. You know. But I'm being foolish a little bit, but do you understand what I'm saying? The thing that trips you, what if the thing that trips you becomes like hominy and you walk right by and saying, are you kidding me? Not even going to waste my time. I look at the label. Huh? So this is the grace of God. You can't skip this. We have to rely on the grace of God to instruct us, teach us, train us, change us from the inside out. But I don't deserve it. You don't know what I did. Oh, somewhere I read, that what he did was to purify us from every lawless deed. Every law-breaking deed. Well, you know, read the book. Most of us, I shouldn't say that. Some people were really what I would have called goody-two-shoe people. You never did anything wrong. I was not that person. And I broke all those laws. And you know what? He decided, too many of them, can't count them, so I just won't count them against him. That's God's math. There's just too much to count, so I just won't count them against him. Where's God in salvation? He was in Christ Jesus, reconciling us to himself, not counting our transgressions against us. That's the grace of God. Whew. And here we're going to count them up. Well, I did all this bad stuff, so now I got to go crawl on broken glass or something to prove that I'm serious. People do things like that. What does that do? It sells a lot of Band-Aids. But it doesn't do anything to change your heart. Heart surgery only comes from the great physician. And it's an inside job. And the grace of God can change the way you think when you give him permission to renew your mind. It's processed, doesn't happen overnight, but I'm telling you. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, as you have received him, so walk in him. So the way into the kingdom is the way on into the kingdom. It's by grace through faith, by grace through faith, by grace through faith. He lays something before you. He draws you to himself. He causes you to see how good it could be, that could be for you, and you say yes. And faith is my response to grace. I say yes to what he offers. Grace is a gift. It's charis. It's the things the Spirit provides for us. and my faith is a yes. Right? So I used to pray this all the time. I taught my kids in my youth group. It's like a shotgun. You need to have a yes in the chamber and five more waiting. So what's my initial response? Yes. It can happen that way. And you say yes to him. And pretty soon, you know what? It's kind of your default is yes. Huh? By default, you go, yes. Well, if that's the Lord, well, then yes. Well, wait a minute. How would I get myself into here? But you find yourself in the middle of yes instead of in the middle of indecision, being pulled one way and knowing you should be doing this, which is Romans 7, and I don't think I'm going to get there today. It's not, Romans 7 is looking like a next Sunday deal. But I'm intent on this. When I don't know what happened to me, I kind of know. But I was reading Colossians chapter 1, and the Lord highlighted that to me. When you know the grace of God in truth, then it increases. Then it's explosive. It works like it works all over the world when people discover the grace of God in reality, where you become intimately and accurately, Amplified says, intimately and accurately acquainted with the grace of God. I didn't know what to call it. You know, back then I might have said magic. I didn't have enough brains to, because stuff was happening. I couldn't believe how the Lord could change stuff, and with, it was with my permission, but not with my understanding. You know what I mean? It was incredible. I mean, I found myself liking hymns. I was a rock and roller hymns, you know, but I'm also kind of a poet, and I love the language. Come on, I mean, wow. You know, my Jesus, I love thee. I know it is true. Wow, come on. we were singing this today, and I wanted to stop Reagan. But we were in a flow, so I didn't. Because I know what it's like to have those, sing those songs and say, sing, I love you, Jesus, and it doesn't feel right. It feels funny because of the other way you'd used his name so much. See, the eight of you who were sinners before you got saved understand what I'm saying. But do you understand what I'm saying? I felt phony saying it. Because of the way I'd used the name. And then one day I sang that song and sang it a second time. And when I sang it the second time, I meant it. And I knew that he knew I meant it. And then I knew that I knew I meant it. Grace of God. Right? He can craft within us the capacity to walk the straight and narrow. But you don't think about it being straight and narrow. It's the path of life and light. If I go, I'll say it. Battle of the brain here. The Bible says that the entrance of his word brings light. Right? The Bible also says that, get this now, light is sown like seed for the righteous. Isn't that cool? So I'm walking this path. Maybe it is a little straight and narrow, but I've... The entrance of his word brings light, and his word is seed, right? It's this, the incorruptible seed of his word that we're saved by. And so, Holy Spirit, grace of God, goes in front of you and starts throwing out seed because you're putting it in here, right? I'm saving up his word in my heart. Holy Spirit's distributing, and light is sown like seed for the righteous, and it pops up. There are different gestation periods for the seed, and just when I need to know, how in the world could I possibly make this decision and walk it through? Oh, and light pops up like seed. Why? Because it's sown like seed for the righteous. Well, I'm not even feeling righteous. Nobody says I am. So because he says I am, I am. So he can sow seed for me, and light will pop up. It'll grow. It'll flourish. Light is sown like seed. Why? So it'll flourish. So it'll grow. And you got light popping up on your path. You don't have it popping up back down here. But it's been sown back here. And when you get here, gestation will have taken place and there'll be light on your path. Isn't that cool? I mean, come on. And it's in the Bible. And I put those passages together and I said, you're pretty good. I mean, you got this kind of figured out. Because I don't know what I'm going to do when I get down here, but you've already got light sown like seed for me, and it's going to show up. And it gets lighter and lighter until the fullness of day. Isn't that what it says? And I took him serious about that. And I said, well, then let's go. If you can do that, you can make that happen. I can't make it happen. You know, like I'm Johnny Appleseed out there throwing seeds, you know. No. He says, when you walk with him, the entrance of his word will give light, right? And I'll walk that path, and Holy Spirit's throwing seed. Light is sown like seed for the righteous. What does seed do? It grows up. Radishes pop up pretty quick. Oak trees take a little while. But there's oak trees down there that got planted back here. Then when you get there, you'll need the shade of the tree, and it'll already be there. How am I doing? See, this is the grace of God. Well, who knew? Well, he said, listen, don't worry about this. There's a desire and power to do the will of God in you. It's called the grace of God. And so you were chosen. Boy, the Bible says you were chosen to obey God. Did you know that? That's what it says. To obey God and to be washed by his blood. Okay, so I get clean. I can stay clean. If I mess up, he can make me clean. And he chose me to obey him. And he's going to sow seed along my path so I got enough light to see which way to go so I can obey him. I can't tell you what that did for me, because I told Obey and I didn't get along. Obey was like, oh no. I just, somebody told me I couldn't. I thought, yeah, I bet I can figure out a way. Forgot about the consequences. Some of you guys, I mean, I just was a bad obeyer. It just was. I was a revolutionary, I guess you would say. I was a protester. I protested when there was nothing to protest. That made me mad. So I carried signs. I mean, I did all sorts of stuff. I was a generation. It was the 60s, you know. But that was in me because I didn't like phony stuff. I didn't like injustice and that kind of stuff. Well, the foundation of his throne are righteousness and justice, right? So you can turn those feelings. And not only have you be not to be opposed to what's wrong, no, he can empower you to spread what's right. I mean, not only are you opposed to darkness and death, but he can give you the power to transmit life. It's just, wow. I mean, I could just go on and on. This is the grace of God. This is how he affects us from the inside out. And it's not this thing, well, you can go do anything you want. I have people ask me frequently, Pastor John, can you be a Christian and do this? And I used to think, I already did all that stuff. Now I just go, do what? People are coming up with new things to do, new twists. The problem is, you can be a Christian and just do almost anything. Why? Because you have free choice. Can't you? But if your heart is being formed, I'm talking about formation, not petrification, or, you know, no, it's formation. Get petrified, by God, I'm not going to do that. Well, no, by God, you won't, but you'll do it on your own power. Anyway, step over here. If you're being formed on the inside, he can give you the power to make the right choice so you come out with the right conclusion, right? And so, the grace of God soaking us, preparing us on the inside for what might be a difficult choice that were 2 years ago, you might not even be able to come up with what was the right choice. Now you can just go, okay. I'm right. I mean, there's things in you. Because you get, you know, the more you walk with the Lord, you don't just choose between evil. Okay, so am I going to go steal cattle or go to the Sunday school picnic? Well, I won't steal cattle today. I mean, you know, there's some obvious things, but it gets down to you're sorting out between really good things. You know, am I hearing the Lord? Is it a good thing or is it a God thing? You know, and that kind of stuff. And you need the grace of God to do it just as much as you need the grace of God to be able not to do that. You know, I mean, am I going to smoke crack today? Yeah, probably shouldn't. No. See, it becomes the point where those aren't the decisions you have to make anymore. But in the beginning, they are. When you first get transferred out of darkness, you know, you were sitting by the fire, you might still smell like smoke a little bit. Right? So the temptations, the things that had you were the things that are going to come knocking on your door. And those are the things you got to beat first. So what do you do? Well, the first thing you do is turn your back to the door and look this way. Because we become like that what we give attention to. We become like that which we give attention to. So I'm not going to give attention to that anymore. And well, that used to have a hold on me. Yeah, well, so did Tootsie Rolls. I don't eat those anymore either. You know, when as a child, I thought like a child. You know, when you turn like this in your thinking, Lord, what do you have for me? He doesn't have that for you. You can still get it, but you can't get it from him. Am I making any sense? If he becomes your source, I'm going to drink water from this well. And pretty soon, you develop a taste for this and a distaste for that. Huh? And how did you do that? By pure willpower. Well, willpower's in there, but it's really his power empowering your willpower. Because Jesus said, not my will, but yours. Right? So you say the same thing. Well, Lord, between you and me, if I had a choice today, if nobody was looking, I'd go do that. But you and I are both looking. So I need the power to make this choice. Right? Haven't you ever come to that thing where, you know, nobody's really going to know about this? Yeah. Not true. Be on Facebook by 2 o'clock. I'm telling you. We were in Estonia, and we're in the little city of Tartu, and there was a bridge that you walk over this river. And if you're anybody, if you've been to the town, you get up and you walk on the, it's about like that, and you walk over the loop of the bridge across the water. And so, Pastor John, you gotta crawl over. And I said, not doing it. You're afraid. Nope. Married. And I said, if I would get up on that bridge and walk across that, my wife will know that in 12 minutes because you'll put it on Facebook. And then within 12 minutes, I think it was Maria and Sarah were walking over the bridge, and my wife saw it on Facebook. And I didn't do it. My first instinct was to be the leader. Let's go across the bridge. And I said, nope. No, it's kind of silly. But it isn't. I mean, you're going to hide. No, you're not. Stuff's going to get, you can't do that anymore. You know, you get shouted from the housetops, right? So, or Instagram or Snapchat or something, you're going to. But the issue is, if you settle it, you don't even have to worry about being found out. You just stay out, and you won't get found out. But if it's just all willpower, you can get by with that for a little bit. But you need the grace of God empowering you to turn you facing the other way and begin experiencing things that touch those places in you that caused you to want to do these things in the first place. Yes. Right? Am I making sense? Yeah. I got to quit. So, what do we want? We want to know the grace of God in reality, in truth. Now, I'm going to touch Romans 6 here, which we finished last week. I was going to give you a reprise on the grace of God and a summation of Romans 6. I'm going to read you my two-paragraph summation of Romans 6, okay? Because then we'll feel like we did what we need to do. Being united to Christ, we are dead to sin but alive to God. Man, that's all you needed to get that. And being enslaved to God, we are ipso facto committed to obedience, pledged to the total belongingness to God. Don't you like that? The total belongingness to God. The total obligation, the total commitment, and the total accountability which characterize the life under grace. It is inconceivable that we should go back on this willfully persisting in sin and presuming on grace. The very thought is intolerable and a complete contradiction in terms. So in practice, we should constantly be reminding ourselves of who we are. We need to learn to talk to ourselves and ask ourselves questions. And Romans 6 is all through this. Don't you know? Do you not know? Says it over and over. Don't you know? Do you not know the meaning of your conversion? Don't you know that you have been united to Christ in his death and his resurrection? Don't you know that you've been enslaved to God and have committed yourself to his obedience? Don't you know these things? Don't you know who you are? We must go on pressing ourselves with such questions until we reply to ourselves, yes, I do know who I am. I'm a new person in Christ, and by the grace of God, I will live accordingly. On May 28, 1972, the Duke of Windsor, the uncrowned king of Edward VIII, died in Paris. That same evening, a television program rehearsed in the main events of his life. Extracts from earlier films were shown in which he answered questions about his upbringing. Recalling his boyhood as the Prince of Wales, he said, "My father, who was King George V, was a strict disciplinarian. Sometimes when I had done something wrong, he would admonish me, saying, 'My dear boy, you must always remember who you are. It is my conviction that our Heavenly Father says the same thing to us every day. My dear child, you must always remember who you are. That's from John Stott. Why don't we stand together? Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us today. Lord, I agree that you could sense angelic presence this morning, granting us the capacity to declare what's real. I have to be honest with you, Lord, there are moments in my life sometime where the first thought I have is not holy, holy, holy. But the inner reality is always holy, holy, holy. And this morning we rely on the inner reality, your presence within us. Lord, would you cause us to accurately and intimately know the grace of God. Rely on the divine favor that's on our lives just because of knowing Jesus. Recognizing the divine adequacy that you just know how to empower us, to give us things, not that we things we don't deserve, and then things we don't even actually know we come up with because of your adequacy. Patience when impatience is demanded. Compassion when bitterness is what really comes up in our hearts. And, you know, forgiveness when what we really want to do is carry a grudge. I mean, that's the adequacy of God. And then, Lord, that inner stirring of the desire and power to do the will of God. I pray that for each person today. If you're going to touch us today as we pray, Lord, would you touch us and cause us to know that there is desire from heaven and power from the Spirit of God for us to do the will of God, what we know or what you're going to make known to us. And there is a desire, a leaning towards, an ability to recognize the will of God for our lives. And then the energy, the anointing to cause us to be able to walk it out, to say yes, and then to do the yes that we've said. That's the grace of God. And it's not just leniency when we've messed up. Thank God that you forgive us. But Lord, it's empowerment to move on, to go on, to recognize that we turn to you because you are all those things we pray today. And you are for us. Yes. That's amazing. You are all the things you say you are. And you're for us. So today, Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the chance to be together with other people who care about you and care about each other. And Lord, today, in fresh ways, empowered by the grace of God, we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done in us, through us, and among us. By the grace of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, this was good, guys. Thanks for putting up with me today. I was all over the place.